And welcome back to the second episode of the most amazing podcast you'll ever listen to. This is Supper Time. I am Drew Trembley with, again, my beautiful, gorgeous wife, Jillian. How you doing over there?
I am just so good, to be quite honest. When did you say this is like 1.5 episode? Like, this is like a 0.5.
All right. Yeah,
I'll give you a full count.
That's right. I'll give you 1.5.
Yeah.
This is episode. Welcome to episode 1.5 of the most
ridiculous podcast you've ever subscribed to.
Ridiculous.
Can you hear me okay? Do I need to lean in?
I can. Maybe move a little bit closer. I mean, I can hear you great. Especially your soft, soothing, amazing voice.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That was good.
Anyway, put you right to sleep.
So today we got kind of something special today, don't we?
It is like super special. And I mean, it might be obvious, but I don't think you're going to know.
No, I don't.
What are the results, Drew Allen?
What are the results? Yep. I know all of you have been out there on our social media platforms voting for the, on your take of our first ever marriage debate on Do You Like to Share? Or are you not very nice and don't like to share at all?
Rude.
So I think we have some results for the audience.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm sure it's no surprise to you all that I take the cake this time. Winner, yeah. Winner, chicken dinner. There's a bunch of other jerks out there like me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to bow down to the winner this time. Jillian is starting off this debate 1-0. So
1-0, baby, 1-0.
As I was watching the results come in, I was just crossing my fingers that it would be 50-50 because I guess
let me just say one thing though, that the majority votes were women. And you men need to get out there and stand up.
Like, guys,
are you guys Team Drew, or do you guys all agree with me as well? Like, I want more of like an even, like, voting scale.
Yeah, I agree. Because I'll admit, the people that did vote for me, they just had such better arguments.
Whatever.
Right? Yeah.
I will just say, you know, whenever you put your opinion out there on the internet, it's just so like black and white. And you could tell the people who like know me personally, the people who don't. So you get like a total different perspective, right? So it's like, if I'm like, I don't want to share, it makes me sound like such a jerk. But I mean, Drew knows, like, we do share a lot. If you saw on my stories today, posting about us sharing like our food and whatever. And I just want to give a little insight. Sharing versus splitting a meal is totally different to me. It's like, I don't mind splitting a meal with Drew, but I don't want to share my meal that he insisted he didn't want any part of in the first place.
Yeah, we just went out to lunch before recording this and we both shared an appetizer and shared a meal.
Yeah. And I actually, Drew and I do that a lot where we'll each pick a meal and we'll split it. But that's like different because it's not like dipping into my portion size.
But question.
Okay.
Leftovers. You go out to dinner. I like to go out and the first thing I do is I ask the waiter, like, what would you get?
I will say real quick on like splitting food and going somewhere new. Drew is like adventurous. He wants to know like the chef's special. Like, what are the locals eating? Like, he wants that. And I like to do that, but also have a safe meal. So like, if I don't like what they suggested, at least I have a safe meal. And I will give Drew kudos because if I like his meal better than mine, a lot of times Drew will give up like the good portion of things. Same thing with like dessert or something. If I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Like, I don't like this. Drew will usually trade me if he went like safe.
So I hope everybody heard that.
There's, you know, there's goods and bads to all of us. And, you know, you gotta just.
Yeah. We had a conversation on the way home and Jillian had mentioned, Drew, what don't you like?
Yeah,
like,
I was
what
like.
What would you not eat?
Yeah, like what of mine? Because I was thinking on the basis of sharing. That a lot of times Drew has food that I have no interest in eating, or it has something on there that I'm like, well, I wouldn't like that anyway. So it's easy for me where I feel like everything I order, Drew would like. So I was trying to think of something that Drew doesn't like that I do like, because usually if it's something he doesn't like, I also don't like it.
I had an answer.
I had an answer.
I'm like,
he's like,
broccoli.
Yeah.
I have started to like broccoli, but I told her, I said,
he at first just said, one thing that I've started to like that you like is broccoli. And I'm like, oh yeah. Cause never in the history has it been like, what? You want me to share a broccoli with you? Never. Like, I'm like, yes, I like broccoli, but I'm sure if you wanted a stab at one of my little trees, I'd probably let you. Yeah. It's not really a food that's usually coveted is all I'm saying.
I think a lot of people share their broccoli.
Yeah. Please take a broccoli. But I actually really do like broccoli.
Okay.
But back to leftovers. We were going to talk about leftovers.
True.
And so, you know, someone voted, shout out Erica, just about like leftovers, like that was a fail to plan on your part that you didn't save half your meal. And I was like, honestly, I wouldn't really care if Drew ate my leftovers because I don't really like leftovers anyway. But then I was like, unless I plan to eat them, then yeah, I'd be mad. So
see, I like the food when it's cooked fresh. Always better than leftovers. Oh, yeah. I know people agree with that, but it's like when I make dinner.
And the best compliment to Drew is like when he says dinner is ready, you have your plate and you're putting food on it.
Yes.
Drew is like, do not like wait for me. I want you guys to eat it hot. I want you to enjoy it how I prepared it. Like that's a compliment.
But what I was going at was the leftovers. Because that's how I like my food, I'm not that big fan of leftovers. Like leftover sushi, no.
No.
Leftover buffalo wings. No.
Yeah, because they get too dry.
Yeah. But then Jillian heats up her leftovers and they look so good. I'm like, I just have to have a bite of that.
I don't know. I feel like it depends on the leftover if I'll share or not. Like, I think it depends. Like, when we go to a Mexican restaurant, I get like a monster burrito. Usually I'm like, sure, you could split this with me.
Yeah, because the butt of a burrito tastes good no matter when.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Microwave that up and eat it.
Yep, I agree with that.
Okay, anyway, all right. We went on a date today. We picked a winner. We did a wheel of names. And Drew, you know who the winner is.
Yes, our winner for the first, I feel like we're going to have to make a plaque that says first ever marriage.
No, let's winner. Echo. I'm going to say first, and you're going to say first ever, ever marriage debate.
Okay. Ready?
Our winner for our first
ever
marriage
debate
is
Bridget, the best hairstylist, haircutter out there.
Shout out to Blondes by Bridget.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out. I forgot the name, but yeah, Blondes by Bridget. So yeah, Bridget, you are the first winner of the marriage debate. I don't even think you joined my side, though. I'm pretty sure you were anti-share.
Yeah, she voted for me.
Darn well, it.
For my point of view, not me.
And to Shannon, shout out to the vacay. I'm still going to keep that vacay going. I was hoping it was going to be you. I promise episode 71.
Why did we pick that? I think you seriously said 71.
All right, 71.
Play it back. Play it back. Replay. We got to find out.
That was my replay sound. Vacay. So I was hoping it was going to be you because you gave that shout out to the vacay. But as far as Bridget, what you won, I did ask Jillian today, sweater. Like, it sounded great when we recorded the first episode because it was kind of chilly here in Southern California. It's pretty hot right now. So we're going to reach out to you if you want a sweater, the very first ever supper time sweater. We'll get it for you. If you'd rather have a t-shirt, you can have a t-shirt. We'll make that happen. Just requirement, you got to post it for us.
Also, just a segue, we have a little segment after this, a little Q&A that Drew and I did. But as...
Yeah, so it was the first thing we ever did, and the audio is not the best. So
it ain't perf, but we did it, and we tried, and we're just in a season of just put it out there. I feel like we get all caught up in perfection, and I think that's a big lesson to be learned in owning your own business or starting anything new. It's very easy to get caught up in, one, comparison game, right? And also perfectionism. So we just kind of went for it. The audio is a little iffy. You guys will be fine.
And I think you're going to love it.
Turn on your captions and just mute it. Yep.
I don't have a name for this segment. This is the question and answer segment. But with further ado, I sure...
Without
further ado, I sure hope you enjoy this question and answer segment by Jillian and Drew.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Let's dive into this. Oh, I can hear myself.
Hear everything?
There he is, Big Daddy.
Hold on, I can turn off it too. Can you hear it?
No, I can hear it perfect. Hey.
How's it going over there?
It's going good.
Good.
So we're just going to start off with some lightheartedness, I think, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you've been around for any amount of time, you might remember our marriage debate. That's not what today is about.
No, not this time.
We're going to ease into it. Or we're just going to kind of talk coffee. Yeah?
Yeah. So Jillian came to me and she said, hey, why don't you come up with some questions? Don't tell me what they are. And we will record the answers. So that's what we're going to do.
I use the internet for mine. Okay, I want to start us off because this was my idea. My first question for you, Drew Tremblay, is how do you, as a business owner, and we're also front of the house, so it's not like we have other people out there, how do you handle difficult customers?
Wow, your questions are very serious. I might need to think about changing my questions. Most difficult customers come to us because our prices are not your Starbucks cheapest prices, because we use quality ingredients. We hand make everything. So we're not going to have the cheapest prices. So how do I handle a difficult customer? I understand that there's going to be other options out there, that we might not be the best solution for everybody. So I let them know that, and I'm very honest about it, and say with a smile on your face. And
I'm just going to plug in my own answer, kind of to piggyback off what you're saying, is we know like the worth of our product. And so it's really easy to kind of face them, I guess, and just be like, this is what it is. Like, you know, if you work for someone else and maybe you don't understand where the source of everything comes from and the hard work that goes into it. So it's harder to sell someone else's thing that maybe you think is, oh, that's expensive and I can't sell that. But we know the quality of our products and where it's sourced from. And I mean, blood, sweat, and tears go into this. And so when someone has maybe, especially that like price, oh, you know, that's not my normal Swiss Miss pricing. do we have to bleep that out? I don't know. Anyway, I feel comfortable and confident in our product. So that doesn't scare me, you know, and I can nicely address that.
All right. Well, let me ask you my first question that is not going to be that in-depth and serious. What is the craziest drink order you have ever received?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Let me just say this. I never drink coffee before we started our coffee trailer. I just never liked it. But I'll be honest, my mom will probably disagree with me. But when I was growing up, she did drink like Folgers coffee. And I was like, this tastes like dirt. I have no interest in it. I get it. You walk into a coffee shop, you look at the thing, and you're like, what the heck does all that mean? But with that being said, we did have one customer that ordered a cappuccino large.
That was going to be my answer to it.
Can I get a cappuccino large ice and with vanilla in it? And I'm like, so a vanilla latte, not a cappuccino at all. You got it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just, those words pop out at them like cappuccino. I know that word. I'm going to order it. But I also like don't want it at all because they don't understand what it is.
I've learned very quickly that even in the coffee industry, you don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know. And so usually, too, if someone orders something and I feel like I can tell like they may not know exactly what they're ordering, I usually explain the drink to them because I don't want to make someone a drink, hand it to them, and then be like, I did not realize this is what I was ordering.
All right, what's the next question?
Okay, my next question is an easy one. So you're welcome. What is your favorite caffeinated drink?
Ooh, my favorite caffeinated drink would probably have to just be a black cold brew.
Gosh, he's so simple. It's cute.
Yep.
Mine would be Dr. Pepper.
What would be your dream location for our next event?
Oh, gosh. Dream. I mean, obviously, I would love to do something kind of I feel like out of our normal, it would be cool to do some like rollerblading competition by the beach. That would be sick.
Roller derby. Here we come.
I was thinking like, you know, the boardwalk. And then we're just flinging coffees, fueling the people, and then maybe I'll strap on my blades and get out there.
Old school, like the Sonic drive-through version of Woodbine Coffee.
I could picture us out there.
All right. Next question.
Do you thrive under pressure?
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid going through college, I was a professional procrastinator. And I think that kind of rolled over into being able to work under pressure. I remember a time when I was in college and I had to have a paper written the next day and I hadn't even started it. And a friend came, and I hadn't started at 11 o'clock at night. A friend came and knocked on my door and said, "Hey, you want to go to a movie?" "Sure do." Got to get it done. Like, if I had to stay up the whole rest of the night, I'll get it done. And I got my paper done. So that's the start of me liking to work under pressure.
But I will say that after like our first couple busy events, and really it's funny when you're like, oh, I thought that was busy and this is busy, or I thought whatever, but we've learned something new every time. We get better, we understand, we get a system going. But I will say that I think Drew and I work similarly. Mm-hmm. Is that word so hard?
That makes sense.
In the fact that we do both kind of just put our heads down and just like get it done. Like we're not really like stressed out. We don't yell at each other. We're both just like moving and going. And I mean, we've had like 10 drinks stacked and Drew's dropped the espresso, you know, and you're like, no, but there's never been a time. It's like I just grabbed paper towels and threw it on there and it's like on to the next. Like I don't have time. We're not going to sit there and be like, are you kidding me? You just spilled a drink. You know how busy we are. I feel like.
She thinks it, but she just doesn't say.
No, I feel like it's just like go. Like just throw paper towels on it. Don't worry about it. We don't want it to spread more, but we'll clean it up after. And like we just got to get to the next drink and keep going. And I feel like that's a very positive environment. And we've been in some pressure cooker situations. And I think that we've done good.
All right. So my next question now, these are the questions I was going to ask. One of Jillian's most favorite games in the whole world is a game called Wits and Wagers.
No.
Well, it's a lot of trivia questions. Now I'm like, well, if you want me to ask coffee questions, let's go into the internet and find random trivia coffee questions until I realized she did not ask those kinds of questions. But I kept a lot of them. Being that we do roast our own espresso beans in-house, I'll give you a little hint because our espresso beans do come from this country.
Okay.
So hopefully she knows where our espresso beans come from. Which country produces the most coffee in the world?
Puerto Rico. Am I right? Ethiopia.
What's your third guess?
Costa Rica.
No.
Am I wrong with all of them? Yeah. But wait, I do know. I thought I knew.
You know, you go a lot further south than that.
Okay. Anything's that helped me. He thinks going south didn't help me.
Yeah, you go a lot further south.
Do I know someone?
Border?
Here?
No, but you know someone who lives in the border country of Argentina.
I know. And I don't know what border is Argentina.
We decided to pick this country for our espresso beans. One, because I love the chocolatey flavor.
Okay, wait, time out. We did not decide anything, obviously. He decided.
Well, with the help of my brother.
And I put you on that task because I knew I was not equipped for it. I'm smart. I know when to assign someone else to something. And obviously, countries aren't my thing either. So I don't.
What about it has carnival?
Rio.
That's the
see.
That's this.
I don't know.
You're right. Rio.
Oh, Brazil.
Oh, there you go. There you go. There you go.
I'm gonna go say the... Brazil. Pretend that was my first one.
Spain is not south of Costa Rica. Okay.
But can we edit it to make it look like I answered right the first time? Thank you, Drew. That's kidding. Spain. No, I'm just kidding.
Is Brazil is the largest producer of coffee? Being so, why we get them from there? One, I love the chocolate flavor. Taste of it, and because they produce so much, they are very consistent with their beans.
And that is something you definitely want, consistency.
All right, what's your next question?
My next question is, what's it like working with your wife?
I was talking to a friend that knew me in my past life, one of my best friends. He worked with me in my corporate world, and he said, so have you gotten sick of being with Jillian every day?
Honestly,
it's a good question. It's a good question.
Thanks, Chris.
It's a good question. But I will say it was a very quick, easy, honest answer of no, I haven't. Now, we'll give it about 12 months, and then we can come back to this question. But no, I'll be honest, I was a little worried thinking going into business together, what that would be like. And I think it's been, I'd like you to answer the same question, but on my side, I think it's, I mean, we're a perfect business couple.
Yeah, I think I would say that it helps that Drew and I are kind of like two puzzle pieces. We don't look the same, but we fit together. My cheesy line of the day. But truly, his strengths and my strengths are so completely opposite. And I think that no matter if you're going into business with your spouse, your friend, your sibling, you know, whatever the case may be, I think really understanding someone, what they're good at, and kind of like leaving things in their field and vice versa. But also, obviously, sometimes those things mesh and they do cross over. And I think just really kind of verbalizing different things, asking like, how can I help you with what you're working on? And maybe you can help me with this. And I think that really helps us mesh and work together, is just knowing each other's strengths and weaknesses. And you have to be very like, you have to have humility, I think, and working in a business with anybody, because you have to also like be able to take it if someone's giving you criticism, and you have to understand that it comes from a good place, because obviously we both want the business to thrive and we already know we want our marriage to thrive. So we have to understand that no matter what comes at us or from each other, that it's placed in a good place.
One thing that I was nervous for, as she, that I didn't know how this would translate into working together, is if you've ever worked with me before, any of you that are listening to this and have, you might laugh at this. I wear my heart on my sleeve, and there was one thing I'm not very good at, and it's not recognizing the positive right away. Once I see something, I'm already thinking of what can we do to make that better? That's a great idea. How can we expand on that? And I'm already thinking 2, 3, 4 steps in the future. And I forget to remind myself, hey, to remind the person that came up with the idea, being you now, that was a great idea.
And I think that's where communication is key, because I will definitely say something of like, I don't know, just kind of to bring it up, maybe not right away, but I think eventually. Also, it's like, you know, that kind of approach sometimes make you feel like you don't want to share ideas. And so I think it is important to express to one another, hey, that's a great idea. Have you thought of it like this? And I think a lot of times people, you know, it's like they want to just shut down every idea you have. And that's like the most annoying thing. It's like, okay, please just like hear me out a little. And I think that Drew and I have both grown through that. I mean, you grow automatically when you're married. Obviously, if you want your marriage to continue, you're going to grow together and figure things out. So I think we've done a good job about that.
And another thing we did too, before even starting business, I heard this listening to someone else who does work with his wife, and they're very, very, very successful. He gave the advice of, you need to make sure each person has very distinct roles, and the roles that they have are theirs. Now, that's pretty easy for us to do because, like Jillian said, our strengths are very different from one another. So it's very easy to decide on what our roles were. And then as we continued working together, I just knew that what Jillian did, what she did well, that's her. She can take total control of that. I trust everything that she does in that instance. And I might give my thoughts here and there, but usually it doesn't really matter because hers were the right ones to start with.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely have found our groove with that, and we just hope to continue to get better and offer better and better quality everything.
All right, I think I have the last question.
Okay.
If you could be sipping a cup of coffee anywhere in the world right now, where would it be?
Costa Rica.
Why?
Because, gosh, man, that place is beautiful.
She's just using a cup of coffee as an excuse to go to Costa Rica. I think my answer would have been more eloquent for the actual coffee industry.
And mine literally has.
She just didn't have to travel to Costa Rica.
You asked me where I would want a cup of coffee, where and I would.
We've actually been to Costa Rica before. It's the best vacation we've ever had. And at that time, Jillian didn't drink coffee. So it would be a different experience.
It would. I think it would be.
And I do like Costa Rica. Costa Rica, Guatemala. I love their coffee.
Yeah.
Mine would be Italy, by the way.
It would?
Yeah. Just because I want to know the coffee experience in Italy.
I'd go with you. All right. I think that about wraps us up. I hope you guys have learned something about it. We have been working on some fun podcast stuff, and we hope to bring you a lot more.
And to everyone out there, just know, Julie is very good at what she does. She's awesome, even though that she thought Rio was in
Spain. I did know it was in Brazil. I just forgot for a second.
Being El Carnaval was in Rio. That's good.
Yeah, I started somewhere, and the only reason why I know that is from the movie
Rio. I thought it would say that.
They have good coffee and a lot of parrots.
They do. Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
It's a good thing I'm cute.